And so we're going to get started with a scripture passage to help us to jump off a little bit. I feel like I need to be a little bit back a little bit. And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, I would encourage you to do that. It's a short passage. We're going to be reading Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. It's on page 1819 in your pew Bibles, most of them. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 8. This is a passage that's probably well known to many of us. This is Paul telling us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of salvation and the relationship between faith and works. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, those of you who attend evening services regularly will know that over the last month, we've been discussing the Canons of Dort, which is one of the confessions of the Christian Reformed Church. And it is maybe better known as the 5 points of Calvinism, even though Calvinism is much bigger than that. But in essence, the Canons of Dort were written to really clarify what is going on in our salvation and who gets the credit for our salvation. Because when you look at the landscape of Christianity, you know, there are some Christians that think that salvation is kind of part God and part our own human effort or our own wisdom in coming to faith. But you know, the Canons of Dort refute that, and we see that very clearly in the passage that I just read, that yes, we are saved by grace through faith. But then Paul is quick to say that, you know what, even faith is a gift from God, and it originates with God. And so we came back to that kind of over and over again during that series on the Canons of Dort. But, you know, understanding that well then, looking to the last part of the passage I just read about good works, is talking about God's sovereignty over everything. And that, you know, even the good works that we do, God knew about beforehand. And God orchestrated so that we would have those opportunities, and God works in our hearts so that we would be receptive to responding in obedience to those opportunities. And so that's kind of how I want to frame the discussion here this morning. And so thinking about that, I'm going to ask a few questions to the people that went on short-term mission trips. And the reason is that with short-term mission trips, it's perhaps a better opportunity than just our daily walks and our daily lives to really focus on what God is doing in other people and other situations and what God is doing in us. And so we're going to engage in some theological reflection, but you know, ultimately, whether you're on a short-term mission trip or not, we wake up every morning and we go out into that mission field. And so that's how I want all of us to be thinking about that today. And so the first question I'm going to ask of all of you, and you can pass the microphones around, this is just to give us all a sense of where you went and what you did. So this is kind of the basic question. What, where, when was your mission trip? And along with that, maybe why did you decide to go? All right, so somebody be brave and start. Somebody with a microphone.
I'll start. Okay. In August, Steve and I went with a group of 14 from Campus Life to Belize. We worked with a church there and were affiliated with a mission called Praying Pelican Mission. So we worked with the church and we did a VBS program for a few days. We also distributed food to some of the families in the community, which the pastor had chosen ahead of time. And I'm going to let Steve tell you why we went on this trip.
Okay.
How about later?
So I'm speaking on behalf of Sawyer also. We went to Nicaragua to Tesoros de Dios, and we did some painting and dental work, two very different things. And I went because Sawyer set up this group, and what brother wouldn't want his little sister going with him, so.
Okay.
I'll go back now, Drew.
Okay.
I'm involved with Campus Life's ministry a little bit, so I knew about this mission trip actually for many months, long before it was made public. And I had several people, including Deb, say that, you know, we had to really pray about whether we should go on this trip or not. And I can honestly say that many of you know the story of Jonah. I decided I wasn't going to go to Belize in August, and so I certainly didn't put it on my prayer list. About 5 days before the deadline was up, though, I was at a meeting, and God really laid it on my heart to maybe we ought to think about doing this. So I came home and said, yeah, Deb, maybe you are right. Maybe we should be praying about going to Belize. And so we did. And the night before the deadline, we both looked at one another and said, neither of us was like really thrilled about going, but we both felt that we should do that. So the next morning we signed up.
Okay.
All right. I went to Jacksonville, Florida in the end of July. And at first, we didn't really know what we were going to be doing. We were told that we were doing hurricane relief, but that was completely opposite of what we did. We ended up doing like little tiny things for small organizations that are there. One day we served food to the homeless. Another day we helped an aquaponics group and just like different things to help the community there. And it was just very eye-opening to see how each of those groups appreciate the tiny little things that we did and how each of them like knew about the other groups and how they were all connected.
There were three groups who went to Tesoros de Dios last summer, and I was in the first group. I went because at Usper Christian we sponsor 5 students, and so I wanted to go and meet the students that we sponsor and support Michelle as she's down there. And it turned out, we didn't know in advance, but she was going on sabbatical, so it was actually her last week before she kind of left that we were there, and I was able to stay with her.
Steve and I went to Rehoboth Christian School last March, which we have done for the last 7 years now. We became acquainted with Rehoboth Christian School through the denomination because it's been there since 1903 as a school to the Native Americans, and then also because we're related to the Ipples, and there's a whole bunch of them down there. And so we go there every year for somewhere between 1 and 3 weeks at a time. And we, Steve fixes just like about whatever needs to be fixed. And I work either in the business office half a day and then the library the other half a day. So it's a good fit for us.
Awesome. And I went to Camp Timberline in Estes Park, Colorado for 5 weeks last summer. I was a counselor out there. So what that looked like was we'd have girls ranges from 7 to 16. Each week we'd have a group of about 12 girls in our cabins. We'd spend the week with them, have a hike day, play some sports, play some games, hear the gospel and get to worship together. And so the reasons that I wanted to go to camp was, number one, Colorado is beautiful. Number two, I love camp. And I love kids, so getting that for 5 weeks was a total treat. And then three, I kind of recognized that college summers are a really unique time in life where I'm really free to do a lot of things that I wouldn't normally be able to do when I start a career. So it's a unique period of time where I have a lot of freedom, and I just wanted to use that well and kind of use it with a kingdom purpose in mind. So, yeah.
All right, thanks, Hannah.
You might wonder who these two strangers are sitting up
here.
We
know who you are.
Well, we have been a part of your congregation for probably, 20-some years. Justin and Becky Zalstra, they're our children. And we were very, very, very humbled to be asked to go to Jacksonville, Florida with your youth group this summer in July. And we went through World Renew, but when we got there, we were with a Presbyterian ministry that has a huge presence there. And we worked, like Maddie said, we worked very, very hard, so proud of the young people. We got up very early and we worked very late. And we went to farms and we did a lot of farm work. They produced food for the hungry in Jacksonville, several ministries. We also, and the kids love this one, they got to demolish a inside of a house because there's a ministry there that buys houses and will renovate them and then sell them to low-income families. And they have such a great ministry. They've sold many, many houses. I can't remember how many, but they've only had one family that wasn't able to continue to live in the house because they couldn't pay for it. So they have a very successful ministry. I'll just let you talk.
Yeah, the humbling part was being asked to go and trying to decide whether I really wanted to do that or not. It's kind of out of my element. And then I got to thinking my dad did that for years. And so me and Nancy prayed about it and decided that, yeah. Well, then found out that our granddaughter was going to go along. And so that made it a little bit easier because it was just 5 adults and 11 kids. And we did a lot of physical work. And worked really hard. But the thing about it that amazed me is these kids, they never complained about the work. They did it. But then they wanted to go run every night, too. Yeah. That was about more than what I could handle.
Yeah.
But it was a good time, and we enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Last but not least.
Thanks. So back in February, Jessie Walvert, who is Ken and Judy's daughter, she texted me, and she was like, hey, what do you think about going to Nicaragua and going to Tesoros for 2 weeks in the summer? And I was like, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. I'll let you know. And one of the things that thinking about short-term mission trips is we have to think about whether they will help the people there or whether it will actually hurt them. And I was like, if we're going to be going to do projects that they could have the local people do and help the business and economy there, it doesn't pay for us to go. We might as well just send the money instead. And I didn't get a clear answer from the Lord telling me not to go. So I was like, all right, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing. So to be honest, I didn't really have a why I was going at first, unless you count seeing all the kids and saying hi to Michelle. But when we got there, so in between my undergrad and graduate school, I had about 8 months. And I was working with kids with autism, doing in-home behavioral therapy. And while I didn't necessarily enjoy it, we get to Tesoros, and Wendy, who is one of the leaders there, says, all right, so during this time, you guys are, if it would be great if you could look at the kids' IEPs, which are documents that the teachers set for goals for kids to have to accomplish throughout the year. And if you could cater the autism binders to the specific kids so that they're not all doing the same thing and not all having the same goals as many of them are at different places in their learning. And so it was very humbling to see how the Lord was using the things that I was learning throughout my job to use there with Jessie, who also is a special education teacher. So we got to revamp the autism binders and also play with a bunch of kids in a squishy toy pool. So it was great.
All right, thanks. So I heard a few different things in those testimonies, those reports. Some of you, like Joyce, you probably knew exactly what you were getting into when you went because you've been faithful every year. So, I mean, that's something of a, you kind of know what you're getting into. And then others of you kind of did what you had planned to do before going. But then I heard a couple of other things. I heard, you know, for some of you, you did like completely different stuff than maybe you were planning on. And Maddie, you said, you even said that, you know, little things here and there. And also I heard from a couple of you too that, you know, we weren't sure if we wanted to go. But here's the beautiful thing about that passage. Here's what I've been thinking about. You know, good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. And talk about humbling and talk about just enlightening. To think that each one of you was ordained by God to go on this mission trip for some purpose. And I don't, you know, we can, the theological reflection comes in when we think about, man, what was God's purpose for that? Was it to touch somebody's life? Was it to provide redemption and light in a situation? Did God do this to prepare you for something bigger that he has down the road for you? But regardless of how you look at it, you were supposed to go on this trip, and God prepared the way for you to go on that trip. And frankly, you guys, this is how we can live every day of our lives. God has prepared you for this day and for the opportunities that you're going to be having this day, the people that you're going to meet this day, the problems, anything you can imagine. God prepared you for this day and to do his work this day. And so now I don't need to make every one of you answer the rest of these questions. And I'm just going to, because of course I knew we were going to have time constraints, but I'm just going to shoot out these questions, and I want to give you an opportunity to speak to these if you feel moved. But the other questions that I gave you were, like, on this mission trip, what did you learn about others and their situations? In other words, how did God open your eyes to the way the people that you encountered live? What did you learn about yourself on this mission trip? Did you learn that you hate drywalling or hate painting? Or did you learn that, man, I love kids or whatever? And finally, and maybe most important, what did you learn about God by answering his call in obedience to go on this mission trip that you were supposed to go on? Okay? So I'm just going to open it up.
I think one of the things that we have learned from going to New Mexico for so long now, and that is that we drive into town and we are a minority. And this is their country and their territory, and we need to be respectful of them, not treating them as I know so much or I can help you so much. But I always try to remember what Carol Bremer Bennett said, who is a former director of Rehoboth, when she said, we should remember that they are not poor people, but that they are people who live in poverty. Hmm. Think about it.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce.
One of the things that really struck me, and this is kind of an answer to all three of those questions, we saw a lot. We saw a lot of despair. We saw a lot of happiness. What we saw were people just like us, you know, everyday life. And every day we had devotions. And our devotions were the book of Habakkuk. And we thought, oh, wow, you know, how is this going to relate to our service to God? And we struggled a little bit in the beginning, but I think by the end, through the three chapters, we saw that Habakkuk is crying out to God, why? We're living in a world of chaos. We're living in a world that's dying. And why is that? And something that struck me is something that in 1 Peter, in chapter 5, Peter's talking about Satan, and he's traveling this world, and he's like a roaring lion waiting to devour us. And that's what's happening, and that's what we saw. so vividly, especially on the days that we went to help feed the hungry and the homeless. But in almost in everything we did, we also saw that what God told Habakkuk is, you have my hope. You have hope, and you don't have to worry. Just love each other and serve each other.
Maddie said it a little bit. Excuse me. It was the little things that really struck people and that struck me. When we feed the homeless, it's amazing. These guys and women, there was families there that were living on the street, and they were so thankful for what we gave them and when we served them. And it was just something like that. The politeness. But that was just what struck me, is how the little things where you did, wherever you went. You don't have to do something great. Just do something little.
Yeah, thank you.
Kind of along with that, eCare is one of our sponsor kids, and we were able to go visit at their houses. And when we got there was, you know, barbed wire that was their clothesline, and probably to keep, you know, people out. And then it's the whole dirt floor. They had one room. He was so proud of his toy box, which was just some junk, and you know, one bed that they all shared and everything. And they were so welcoming and proud, and they gave us a 3-liter of Coke, which is different.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah. And this sweet bread that our guide said would have cost them several days worth of food, that they gave to us. And I just, it was huge for me. And I know when we got home, I actually heard this quote this week that reminded me, being content has nothing to do with how much you have, it's how little you want. And I remember every day when I got back, every day I'd wake up and my first thought was, so this is what it feels like to be perfectly happy.
Thank you. Great.
Something that I think was a little bit different about my experience this past summer was the population that was at Camp Timberline was very affluent. They were very blessed in that way. But something that I realized over the course of my time there was that doesn't mean that their struggles are any less real. Their struggles are maybe more internal, whereas the populations that were worked with elsewhere are more external in terms of poverty or lack in that way. Something that really kept coming up over and over again was just, those internal struggles that the kids were coming with kind of blew me away. Things that I had no idea that kids their age were dealing with were coming up in devotion times or in worship or whatever. And something that the counselors and I reflected on a lot was in 1 John, I think 1, it talks about bringing light to dark, or bringing dark to light, and how in when darkness is brought to light, there's freedom. And we just saw that over and over again. At camp, when things were brought to light, that's a lot of times when our campers found freedom. So that was just a theme that kept coming up over and over for us when we were working with a population that their struggles definitely weren't material, but were definitely more internal. So yeah, that was just kind
spiritual.
Of spiritual.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hannah. Anybody else? Deb?
Yeah, one of the ways that we saw God working in Belize was on the days that we did home visits and brought food bags to the families, we just realized, you know, the poverty that they live in. But yet, like Rachel said, the people there were so welcoming. They just were always glad to see us and welcomed us into their homes. And one little Mayan lady that we had been visiting with our small group, just was sharing that she had lost a husband, she had lost two of her 10 children, I believe, but yet she was praising God for how good he was. So we could just see that God was working in her heart, even though she had very little, but she just still felt blessed by what she did have, and that was just really eye-opening to me.
Thinking a little bit about what God taught me and what I learned about him, I'm sure many of you guys have had experiences also where sometimes you pray for something, and then when he gives it to you, you almost wish you hadn't prayed for it. So, for instance, I am not a very patient person. It's something that I've been praying about and working on for a few years. And getting to Nicaragua, everyone speaks Spanish there, and I was the only one that did not know, as Jesse is also fluent in Spanish. And many of you know that I do enjoy, I like to talk. And so it was very difficult for me to have to sit there and just listen and not join in on the conversations, because people can't always be translating for you. That's a lot. So one of the things that I learned was to be an active listener and to be patient in some of the things that maybe I would have jumped in right away, as opposed to here in Nicaragua, I was able to take a step back, and God was able to teach me, okay, this is a time for you to grow, a time for you to learn to listen. So that was a great learning point for me.
This trip definitely taught me how to be grateful for what I have. We were given the job of doing two huge wall murals in 2 days with nothing but basic wall paint. And I have never been so grateful that Sora and I share the same DNA, because I had to put this art project in his hands. So, but yeah, even though it didn't turn out the best, they were just so thankful that we came down and we were willing to do that. And so we also went down with Sawyer's girlfriend, Aaliyah, and she's pre-dental. So for a day we did dental work, and I am now positive that I went into the right field for college. Dentistry is not my calling, but it definitely made me appreciate what they do and how they were just willing to have a bunch of inexperienced college students help them in whatever ways they needed.
Neat.
Like I said before, we went there thinking we were going to do hurricane relief, but we ended up doing completely opposite. And I grew a lot through just that little small fact, in knowing that I have to be open to change, and that the reason that we went there, God had a specific calling for us. Like Pastor Drew was saying, that is what he wanted us to do, and I'm so grateful for all of the people that we were able to just build relationships even through one day with. And it was just a great time to be able to realize that God has those specific plans for each of us in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, along those same lines, I would say what was really cool is the week before we left, we were both kind of laughing and saying, boy, we don't know why God wants us on this trip. But when we came back, we both agreed, we clearly saw why we were supposed to be on that trip. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that God showed us that. It reminded me, as Pastor Drew just said a little while ago, every morning we get our nudges, we get our opportunities, and I think too often we just kind of throw them aside. But I realize that, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. We need to pray about things. We have to look at every opportunity. We have to walk through doors that are open and just trust him that God will use us in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, thanks. Well, any parting shots before I close it out?
I want to just say that the young people we went with, I have no idea what to expect. But this church has done a wonderful job of raising some really good kids, because they did whatever was asked, didn't complain the whole week long, and they made us proud to be associated with them.
Yeah, thanks for saying so. You know, just one final thought from me. I'm thinking about, as I'm listening to the different experiences that you had, I'm thinking to myself, what's my comfort zone, or what should our comfort zone be? And, stepping out in faith and going to a different context or a different city or a different country. If our comfort zone is something other than God, then stepping out in faith seems like a huge risk, right? But if our comfort zone is God and living out his will in obedience, if our comfort zone is God, then every time we step out in faith, you know, whether it's to a different country or whether we're just stepping out and taking a risk at work by telling somebody about the gospel, every time we step out in faith, we should be stepping right into our comfort zone. And so with that thought, how about if I close in prayer?